AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Today is the day that the grain markets have been prepping for since basically the middle of January.
Opening day.
Maybe not opening day. Might not even be the Cyclone Illinois game coming up tonight.
Although it might be.
It might be. Yeah, we don't want to rule that out. The madness is real. No, ever since we get the Deese one, quarterly grain stocks report in January, the annual production summary at the end of the month, those two things in particular, but the winter wheat seedings, we need to include that in the conversation too. That comes at the end of January. Once you get that, then it is nothing but anticipation of the prospective plantings report and the March 1 quarterly grain stocks report. And we get those reports today. So let's do a little bit of extra preview work on it. Dan Bossy, Ag Resource Company, is here to help us do that. Dan, it's great to talk with you. How are you?
I'm fine, but you're probably not going to like me being an Illinois boy, but we'll leave it at that.
Okay? I knew it. Of course. No, that's fine. I mean, you know, we welcome all sorts.
As long as the Cyclones win. I know. Go ahead. Anyway.
Gonna be a great game. I hope.
It is.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Let's start with the acreage numbers, because at least leading up to the release of the reports, that's where the focus is. That's where the spotlight is. And we start to get some ideas about it at the end of or in February from the USDA Ag Outlook Forum, where the chief economist's office said 91 million for planted corn acres. But the average pre-report trade estimate, according to a survey by Reuters, 91.776. So about 750,000 more than what USDA indicated in February. What makes sense to you, Dan?
You know, we're about in that area. We're at 91.5, so we're not far away. That's down about, close to 3 million acres from last year. And so that shift of losing corn probably goes to beans. So we have beans at 86.5, which I think is close to what the average trade estimate is.
Yep.
So, you know, the reason maybe for the shift from the Outlook Forum is we had such a good fall and the winter was nice and people got down anhydrous. So I think as people did their surveys, farmers said, hey, I put down a little more nitrogen because the weather was right. And that may show up in the seedings estimates today for corn.
Dan, the conversation is also around profitability. You know, which market is offering more revenue, more profit per acre? That conversation happens, but in reality, how much does that really move acres?
You know, I've gone back over my career, which is like 44 years, and we tried to move into acreage estimates relative to profitability. It doesn't work that way very well.
Yeah.
I always say that because there's other tugs and pulls on our pocketbooks. This year, you know, farmers, because of low prices and values that are not fully insuring, it's the whole crop's production. As we look at crop insurance rates this year, you got about 81% of the crop insured. That's different from last year's 99%. And so with that in mind and interest rates higher, farmers are indicating they do want to plant the cheaper crop, soybeans, even though the corn maybe producing just a spike, a little bit more margin. Soybeans seem to come up in discussions more frequently, especially in when I do this work. There's two areas of the country that really come out to me as where the shifts happen. They're in the Delta and they're in the Northern Plains. Those are the fringe swing areas. And so if you really want to get acreage estimates right, if you get those areas right, we in the Midwest, we may jostle a little between corn and beans, but in the end, we kind of keep things the same.
Okay. The combined number that you gave us here between the 91.5, 86.5, 178 million acres of corn and soybeans across the Midwest. Well, across the country, not just the Midwest.
Across the country.
How does that compare to where we have been in the past?
Well, it's down about a million acres from last year, a little less than that. So, you know, when you think about where we're at, it's been really, really hard to get over 180 million acres total farmed corn and bean acres in the U.S. And so we kind of think that's the ceiling, if you will. So we can move acres back and forth, but I always say 179 and 180 are really good years if you have profitability to get acreage up to those levels. We're not there this year. So 178 seems right. I wouldn't even be surprised that we end up somewhere at 177 when we get the final number in June. But for today's report, it'll probably be a scotch either side of 178.
What role has the cotton? I was going to say the cotton market. I just want to put it this way. What role does cotton play in divvying up these acres?
Well, if you remember my discussion about the Delta, right, how important it is. And last year, the Delta farmer planted a lot of corn. Corn down there was up 14%. This year, I don't want to call it the white gold, but it's a little more profitable than it's been. Cotton acres will be up a million acres at about 11.3 by our survey. So a million acres are owned nearly 10% extra cotton relative to last year in the Delta. And that is taken away from corn. And then we find people planting a few more soybeans down there. And that's how we get the down 3 million acres of corn, along with a little bit of help in the Northern Plains.
Okay. That's one of the heavier cotton acreage estimates that I've heard, Dan.
Well, I think the average, let me just see here. I think the average is at 11.1. So I think we're in the neighborhood. But, you know, we'll watch that number very carefully. The low range in S cotton was 10.4, the high is 13. We've got a big spread on cotton acreage, Chip. So, you know, we're coming in at 11.3 or 11.4. We're kind of in the middle of that. But there is some big disparity in what people think on cotton acres compared to other crops.
Okay. So in 35 minutes, when we get the prospective planting report, let's imagine corn number is 91.8. Bean number is in at 86.5, right in line with trade expectations. What do the markets do?
Well, if that's the case, I don't think the markets would do a lot. I think the market's relatively short. We then kind of sit back and say, okay, what's going to be the planting weather and where are we going in terms of supply? But, you know, the surprises historically in this report have mostly come from stocks, not from seeding. Seedings are important, but the one that we analysts really struggle with over the years has been stocks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we also get the quarterly grain stocks report. This is as of March 1. Trade expectations, Davis had them in the news. Wheat as of March 1, stocks in all positions, 1.044 billion bushels. Corn, 8.427 billion bushels. Soybeans, 1.828 billion bushels. Are we looking at corn numbers first?
Yeah, no, I think corn is the right thing to focus on. And so, you know, we're a billion bushels in stocks over where we were last year, which makes sense relative to the crop. You know, if we think about 8.43 in terms of end stocks, it's the largest corn end stock since 2018. So it's a big pile. It's really going to give us confirmation. Did USDA's record corn yield that they gave us in January, is it going to be borne out in this stocks number? And so if we're below 8.2, the market's going to kind of look at it and say, well, maybe that crop wasn't the record and maybe Nebraska yields didn't go up 9 bushels an acre as indicated in January. If it's 8.4 or 8.6, they're going to say, oh, yeah, it was a big crop and the market probably won't like it.
Right. Okay. Okay. You know, and I should mention this, too, Dan. This afternoon, 2 o'clock Central Time, we get the quarterly hogs and pigs report. I mean, this is an important report for not only for the hog market, but for the grain market as well, isn't it?
No, we want to make sure our consumptive base is there. You know, when you look at
Yep.
feed usage over the last quarter, which we use as analysts to get into the corn number, we are estimating we fed on the average trade guess about 1.55 billion bushels of corn. That's up 114 million bushels from last year. Now, there's always this thing called residual, the statistical slush factor that we analysts struggle with. But in saying so, you know, it would say that we need good numbers on hogs and cattle and poultry and dairy animals, and that they made money and they kind of kept their consumption moving higher.
Right. Absolutely. The bottom line from today, though, is it has a history of generating some additional volatility for the grain trade, doesn't it?
It does. We really struggle with this group of numbers. It is the biggest report of late winter spring. We won't get another big one like this till we get the May WASD and we start including new crop balance sheets. But this is a kahuna today. We somehow need to figure out where indeed corn stocks are, in particular where corn seedings are. If I come up with a corn seedings number of 93 or 93 and a half, the market's not going to like it. So we've got large stocks. We're trying to see how big is big and make adjustments accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's how these acreage intentions line up compared to year ago, it's important. That is important. But guys, you got to compare it to the trade expectations going into the report to really figure out how the market might react. So, Dan, great stuff. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Be well. Have a great holiday weekend, and good luck with the reports, everyone.
All right. Can I say this one last thing real quick? I got to
go
say
ahead.
It. Yeah, go Cyclones.
Oh, no, stop that. Anyway, we're going the other way, but we're hopeful for the Cubs this year. We'll see what happens.
There you go.
Well.